Penguin Random House Audio presents The Other Side of Impossible. Ordinary People Who Faced Daunting Medical Challenges and Refused to Give Up by Susanna Meadows. Read for you by Cassandra Campbell. For Beau. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. The Gospel of Thomas. Chapter 1. Shepherd's Story, Part 1. The Leap. What if we'd never met Shar, Darren and me? When my son Shepherd was 3 years old, he and his twin brother Beau took soccer lessons for the first time. They were so excited the night before their first practice that they slept in their uniforms, a purple t-shirt with a yellow star kicking the ball with one of its points. But when we got to the field the next day, Shepherd's enthusiasm evaporated. While Beau and the other kids zigzagged around the cones, Shepherd stood still and looked bewildered. When it was his turn to kick the ball, he seemed lost. After 15 minutes, he walked off the field and sat down in my lap, saying he was too tired to play. We watched the other kids, and I pointed out to him the drills I thought he might enjoy, the ones that Beau was charging through. But Shepherd refused to go back to the field. His reaction didn't concern me much. He was 3, after all, and I already thought of him in the way that parents tend to categorize their children, even as we tell ourselves we shouldn't, is not that interested in sports. My husband, Darren, and I had recently noticed that Shepherd occasionally walked with a limp, but it was faint enough that sometimes when you looked for it, it was gone. Faint enough, though it seems incredible now, that we didn't connect it to his reluctance on the field. I assumed that Shepherd would warm to his soccer lessons the next time around. He and Beau still donned their jerseys at bedtime and talked each night about soccer school at the dinner table. But the following Saturday, Shepherd broke into tears the moment he started to run. That week, we saw our pediatrician, who referred us to an orthopedist. When no injury showed up on the X-ray, the doctor said that arthritis was most likely the issue. Arthritis in a 3-year-old? It sounded more odd than alarming at first. But over the next few weeks, as we waited to see the next specialist, we watched Shepherd spend more and more time on the couch. His stiff-legged walk became more pronounced, though he claimed that it was just an imitation. "I'm a penguin," he would say. Then he started having trouble getting out of bed. A month after our first appointment, we went to see Dr. Philip Kahn, a pediatric rheumatologist at NYU Langone Medical Center, who gave Shepherd a diagnosis of juvenile idiopathic arthritis. JIA is an autoimmune disease. It causes painful swelling in the joints. It can lead to stunted growth, disability, and rarely, blindness. When Dr. Kahn tested his joints, Shepherd denied that it hurt even as he teared up in pain. Our son was stoic, Dr. Kahn said, as the kids he treated often were. Shepherd turned out to have arthritis in both knees and both wrists, as well as in his left shoulder and elbow. Many months later, a particular memory came back to me, its attendant mother's guilt harsh despite the passage of time. We'd bribed him to go to that last practice with the promise of ice cream. Before driving home from the appointment, all 4 of us stopped for lunch at a hummus place that Dr. Kahn had recommended. We sat outside on the sidewalk, and Darren and I pretended that we were celebrating. "This is great news," we told Shepherd. "Now that we know what's wrong, you can take medicine that will make you feel better." Darren remembered thinking that we were lying to him, but he was trying to be more optimistic than he felt, for Shepherd's sake and for mine. Shepherd barely ate his lunch. When we got home, I called my sister Ray. She already knew that overwhelmed feeling of getting a child's diagnosis. She'd been through it with her daughter, who had severe asthma and 14 food allergies. Ray talked about how that moment when you receive a diagnosis like this for your child eclipses everything. She tried to reassure me that if an illness isn't life-threatening, the fear eventually dies down, and coping with it becomes routine. Her daughter was 3, the same age as Shepherd. Ray must have made a similar call to me when she first got the allergy news about her daughter a couple of years before, but I have no memory of it. I'm sure I was sympathetic. I knew that having a child with allergies was difficult and scary, of course. But it was only after we found out about Shepherd's JIA, maybe not that first day, but sometime in the weeks afterward, that I realized I'd really had no idea before about what she was dealing with as a mother. I called her and told her I was sorry, partly because I hadn't fully understood it, even though I don't think I could have. I don't think anyone can. But I also wanted to tell her I was sorry for what she went through, because I knew now how much there was to be sorry for. That day of Shepherd's diagnosis, Ray mentioned that a friend of her sister-in-law, a woman named Char Walker, short for Charlotte, sent her son's arthritis into remission with alternative medicine. Did I want to talk to her? I told Ray that I didn't, that we liked Dr. Kahn and wanted to follow his advice for now. We were starting Shepherd on a course of naproxen, a relative of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory ibuprofen. We didn't want to mess around with something that might not work when conventional treatments were known to be effective. What I thought that day but didn't say to Ray was, we don't want to waste time talking to a kook. Shepherd's arthritis spread while he was taking the naproxen. Joints in his fingers ballooned, and he developed nodules on his knuckles, which were suggestive of serious rheumatic disease. He started wetting his pants more frequently because we realized after too much time, his fingers hurt so much that he couldn't pull his pants down. We went back to Dr. Kahn, who said it was time to confront the painful inflammation in Shepherd's joints with methotrexate, a commonly used treatment for juvenile idiopathic arthritis. Inflammation is supposed to be our friend. The heat, swelling, redness, and pain we're all familiar with are usually signs that this important immune system function is doing its job of fighting off an infection or helping us recover from an injury. Many different immune cells take part in inflammation. Some induce pain, perhaps to force us to rest and heal. Others, our white blood cells, attack bacteria or other foreign matter directly by gobbling them up. Inflammation can be incredibly destructive. That's how it defends us from invaders so effectively. But sometimes our immune system goes haywire and starts striking innocent tissue. When inflammation is inappropriate in this way or doesn't know when to stop, it becomes our enemy. This is autoimmune disease, immune cells fighting against oneself. Excessive inflammation can also increase our risk of cancer and is a factor in many other diseases, including obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. Methotrexate works by suppressing the immune system, which mistakenly attacks the joints of children with JIA. In significantly higher doses, methotrexate is used as chemotherapy. Even at the dose Shepherd would be getting, a minuscule fraction of that, methotrexate could still cause nausea, dizziness, and drowsiness. The list of more serious possible side effects was terrifying to me, including liver damage and increased risk of lymphoma, even though Dr. Kahn told us that those risks were practically non-existent. Shepherd had polyarticular JIA, meaning 5 or more joints were affected. Children with this kind of arthritis are unlikely ever to outgrow it. Shepherd would probably be on medication for life. What were the long-term effects of taking this drug on 3-year-olds? This question tended to visit me in the middle of the night, when Dr. Kahn's reassurances that methotrexate was safe gave the least amount of comfort. As my anxiety about the medication churned, I talked to my friend Andrea about it. She's a doctor. I knew what she would say, and I needed to hear it. She told me, I don't think you have a choice. Somehow, as I suspected it would, hearing that the decision...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?